I just want to have a look at something in Matthew chapter 9, and I've sort of alerted a few of you to this. This is going to be a bit of a series that we're going to work on. And we're starting at the end. Starting at the end of Matthew chapter 9, at verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Okay? Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Okay, so this is what I want us to concentrate on for a little while, for a few weeks, on this instruction of Jesus to the disciples, and therefore to us, to ask the Lord of the harvest for workers, to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, often this is used as a missionary talk, right? To gee people up to go to Russia or something like that. But I don't want us to think so much about Russia. I'm sure if the Lord's got someone's name in the box to go to Russia, he'll let them know. And if me saying those words triggers something and you think, oh, actually, that's what I need to do. I need to go to Russia for God. Then, you know, you do it. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm thinking about us here.
Amen.
I'm thinking about us here at Dural. With, you know, we few, Henry V might say, we happy few, we band of brothers. And we few is a good thing. There are good things about a small congregation. We can be friendlier in a lot of ways. We can be much more personal to people, right? We can have a morning tea after church. Right? It's very hard to have a morning tea after church and sit around and have a natter with 3,000 people, isn't it? So there's something different, something good and family about a small congregation. But you've got to think, I'm inviting you to think, what are we doing here? You know, are we a church who is gathering here, and this is the main focus of our existence, to meet here on a Sunday, to worship, to support each other, to be you know, stirred up by powerful preaching, you know? Or is there something else going on? And having seen the Red Shield appeal last weekend, I think it's just a bit of an indication to us that, you know, I said to somebody recently that the Red Shield appeal is just something we do, it's not who we are. Are we okay down there? We got... I just saw Chris frowning.
I'm just worried about Carl. Is he okay?
Oh, right, okay.
Is he okay?
I don't know.
He just left,
we just not sure. Right, okay, don't know. Sorry. Having seen the Red Shield appeal and having looked at maps and just how big an area we are entrusted with, you know, and that's for the Red Shield appeal, but our core district could even be bigger than that because, you know, we've got Pennant Hills Red Shield zone that way, which there's no core there, so we'll claim that for our core district. All those people God's put in our care, and what are we doing with them? Now, there's other churches, of course there are, but I don't, you know, I think if we split up the number of people in this area and divided it by the number of churches, there'd still be more than enough for each church to be looking after, don't you? Still be more than enough. And so Jesus talks about sending out the workers to the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what Jesus is calling his disciples to do is go out and to make disciples. Go out and duplicate themselves. Speaks to the disciples. His instructions later in Matthew are go to all the world and make disciples of everybody. And I think this is the harvest that Jesus is talking about. He speaks to us about His purpose in coming was to gather up that which was lost and bring it back.
Amen.
Okay? So these are the lost people, the people who are harassed and hopeless, without, like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, and therefore to us, we need to get out there and we need to reap that harvest. So it's a harvest. And it tweaked in my mind too, because when I've been doing my spiel for the Red Shield Appeal in schools, I've been saying to the kids that nobody's asking you to convince people to give money to the Red Shield Appeal. Right? Nobody's asking the kids from the school to go up and tell the whole story of who the Salvation Army is and why we're there, and would they please consider giving money, because everybody knows who we are, I hope. They certainly know what the Red Shield is about, and people have decided whether they're going to give and pretty much how much they're going to give to the Red Shield Appeal. So that I say to the kids, when you come to the door, all you're doing is harvesting the money that's already ready for us. Okay? And my point in saying that to them was to give them confidence that the way has already been paved for them. You can see where I'm going with this. The way has already been paved for them with the advertising and everything that's gone out with the Red Shield Appeal. And when they turn up on the doorstep, they're turning up to people who are already ready to give. Okay? And so I think when Jesus says to his disciples, and when he says to us, go out and ask the Lord to send out workers into the harvest, to bring people in to make disciples, I think he's saying exactly the same thing to us. That when we go out and to meet the people who are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, we really don't have to do a lot of convincing. We just have to be ourselves.
Amen.
We just have to go out there into the world, be ourselves, be faithful, be honest about who we are, and we will find the people plopping into our hands like ripe fruit off a tree. There are people out there who are ready to hear the words of Jesus,
yes,
to hear the invitation of Jesus. Okay? There are people whose spiritual gift enables them and puts them in a place to do that hard, you know, apologetics work of teaching the basic things about Jesus. And my friend John Dixon in the Center for Public Christianity is out there in the public forum really making a target of himself simply by doing that hard work of presenting Christianity out to the wider world. But when it comes to the work that Jesus calls us to do as his disciples, he simply says, send workers out to the harvest. Right? The harvest is plentiful, he says. The workers are few. The problem is not convincing the harvest to grow. The problem is in bringing it in. Right? So I think as Jesus speaks to us here, he's encouraging, he's commanding us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And then when he says later on in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, he's reminding the disciples, reminding us, that this is our job. Not to do anything weird, not to do anything hard in that sense, because he says, doesn't he, the yoke I put on you is easy, right? And we know that word easy means the work I give you to do is perfectly suited to who you are, right? An easy yoke is one that's molded to the shoulders of the ox that it's put on. Okay, so when Jesus uses that image, the yoke I give you is easy, he's saying that I'm not going to give you anything that is foreign to who you are. The work that I call you to do is perfectly suited to who you are as a person, perfectly suited to your personality, perfectly suited to your situation, perfectly suited to a person with your history and with your giftedness and just right, just for you. So what Jesus calls us to do is to go out and to be ourselves. Yeah, on a Sunday morning, this is a place for us to come And I've used this image before about what a citadel is in military terms. A citadel isn't a place where the battle happens. A citadel is a place where the soldiers come back out of the battle and sharpen up their swords again and get the dents out of their armour and have a good feed and a good rest so they can go off again and join the battle once more. So what we do on a Sunday morning, I could say, this is something we do. Right? This isn't who we are. Who we are is a group of people who Jesus has called to go out and be involved in the harvest.
Amen.
Right? So, let's just have a look at these few verses again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. Now, we read over that. Oh, it's just something that Jesus did. Healing every disease and illness. You know, we know all the Sunday school stories of Jesus healing the diseases. That just happens. But healing every disease and illness, that's pretty amazing. So when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And why harassed? Well, we can talk about that another week. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, I like to see the context of things. And I just want to have a little glance back through the rest of Matthew chapter 9 and have a look at some of the things that Jesus was doing before this is reported to us. Okay? So we're going to go to the start of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. So Jesus, in the ordinary course of his day, comes across a man who needs two things. He needs healing and he needs forgiveness. And Jesus, just out of who he is, gives both of those things to that man. Just by walking around, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, came to his own town. Some people brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. Okay, take heart, your sins are forgiven. Right, so this was a lesson to the people around him, just as much as it was a meeting of the need of that person. So as we go about our business, people will see what's going on. And I've heard this called show and tell. Show and tell evangelism. You go out there in the name of Jesus, you just do the things that fall to your hand to do. And people will notice and say, "What's going on there?" And so you explain, this is about the name of Jesus. This is someone coming to trust in Jesus as Lord. Or this is someone seeing healing at the hand of Jesus. Or this is someone seeing healing at my hands in the name of Jesus. Whatever happens when we're out there in our world, just going about our daily business, and there's a response of some sort to the things that Jesus is doing in people's hearts, people are going to notice.
Yes.
And all we have to do is tell the truth. We don't have to stand up and be Billy Graham. All we've got to do is tell the truth. Yeah? So this is the first part of John chapter 9. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And then he comes on, moving on, going about his daily life. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Right? He's offered Matthew a change of purpose in his life. And Matthew is able to just get up and move. He was ready. Just needed the invitation. Yeah? Just needed the invitation. He was ready. Right? And so Jesus had dinner at Matthew's house, and people came and they said, they noticed that there was something different. And they said, "What's going on?" And Jesus just told the truth. This is what's happened. This is what's going on now. Why don't people, you know, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. Go and learn what it means to say, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" In other words, Jesus says, "I've come for the people who know that they're ready." Okay?
Yes.
Right? Not that Jesus is saying that people are righteous without him. Right? In other words, he might be saying, "I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners." Right? Jesus is saying, "I've come to speak to the people who know they need me." Just going about his daily life. Meets Matthew, gives him a whole change of his life. The whole direction of his life changed. And he was able to take hold of it because he was ready. Jesus questioned about fasting. "How is it that we and the disciples fast often, but your disciples don't fast?" Well, Jesus said, I'm here now. Things are different. You know, every question that comes up, Jesus just tells the truth. You know, you don't sit at a wedding in funeral clothes, says Jesus. You know, the bridegroom is here now. We can celebrate. We don't have to fast. We can celebrate. Then he comes along and just going about all the Sunday school stories of Jesus healing the diseases. That just happens. But healing every disease and illness, that's pretty amazing. So when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And why harassed? Well, we can talk about that another week. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, I like to see the context of things. And I just want to have a little glance back through the rest of Matthew chapter 9 and have a look at some of the things that Jesus was doing before this is reported to us. Okay? So we're going to go the start of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. So Jesus, in the ordinary course of his day, comes across a man who needs two things. He needs healing and he needs forgiveness. And Jesus, just out of who he is, gives both of those things to that man. Just by walking around, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over daily life. A synagogue leader came and knelt before him. My daughter has just died. Come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went to him, went with him, and so did his disciples. There was an interruption. We know the story. A woman with a disease that had been happening for 12 years. Right? Okay. Jesus stopped, looked after her, and it seemed that he was too late for the little girl. But he wasn't. He wasn't too late. He was able to wake her up again and to bring her back to life. Right? So in the story of Jesus going around just being himself, we find a time where Jesus is what might seem to be seen as interrupted. But he does what he can with the person who's in front of him, and he moves back on, gets back on with what he was doing, and we find that the purposes of God were not thwarted, were not stopped by Jesus being interrupted and helping somebody else. Okay? Just going about his life, on his way to do one thing, he has an opportunity to do something else. So he takes that opportunity and he goes back on, and the other thing can still be achieved. Yep?
Yes.
Jesus heals the blind and the mute. Two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us. They came to him. They were ready. When he'd gone indoors, he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, that he touched their eyes and they could see. They went out, made a big racket. A mute man came to Jesus who was possessed by a demon. And when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. Right? And so that raised its own problems for Jesus. The Pharisees said, well, who can chuck out demons? Only another demon. You know? But Jesus just wore it. And he said, look, you know, let's just carry on. Let's just be who we are. Let's go out there. The harvest is ready for us. Okay? It's not a case of convincing. Just a case of being who we are, being honest about who is Lord of our lives and telling the truth about what we know, about what we've seen. Right? Not telling someone else's testimony as our own, you know, but just saying what we've seen. Okay, if you get up in a court of law and try and tell, if I got up in a court of law and tried to tell what Viv saw, right, they'd shut me down. They would want Viv to come and tell that story. But if I were to get up in a court of law and say what I saw, then that's witness. That's being a witness. Right? That's what Jesus calls us to. You will be my witnesses. You tell what you know. You tell what you've seen. So Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The people are out there. The people who are ready to be part of God's work in the Salvation Army in Jura are out there. It's just our job to go about our lives. God will bring them across our path.
Yes.
We speak honestly, we take the chance, take the opportunity that's in front of us, and they will come. If you excuse that movie reference, build it and they will come. We're not going to build it and they will come. We're just going to go out and be ourselves, be faithful, honest people. Now, you know when I spoke about the red seal appeal and saying to the kids, the advertising's already gone out. People already know what they're going to give, right? The advertising's already gone out about people being called to be with Jesus. And that advertising has gone out by means of the Holy Spirit speaking directly into people's hearts. Yeah? There's teaching, which I've mentioned before, which the clever university people call the prevenient grace of God, which simply it's a big Latin-y sounding word that means the grace of God goes first. Okay? The grace of God goes out in front of us so that when we meet somebody, God has already spoken to their heart, and when we speak to their ears, their heart and their ears agree.
Amen.
And they're ready. They're ready to be harvested. They're ready to come and be part of us. I want Dural to be a thriving place of worship. Yeah? But more, I want Dural to be a thriving place of work for the kingdom. I want workers out there in the kingdom. Right?
Hallelujah.
And I want them seeing so much of God's hands that it's a joy to come here on a Sunday morning and tell each other about it. Okay? This isn't who we are. It's just what we do. Who we are is who we are out there in our daily lives. Being members of the Salvation Army, being Christians, being harvesters, workers for the kingdom. The advertising's already gone out by way of the Holy Spirit. And as we just keep our eyes and ears open through our daily lives, the people who God is getting ready will meet with us. And as we invite them, be bold, invite people, why don't you come to church with me? Come and meet the people I get along with, have fun with. Then they'll come. They'll come and be part of our work here. Yeah. Okay, let's pray. Stand up and be Billy Graham. All we've got to do is tell the truth. Yeah? So this is the first part of John chapter 9. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. And then he comes on, moving on, going about his daily life. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Right? He's offered Matthew a change of purpose in his life. And Matthew is able to just get up and move. He was ready. Just needed the invitation. Yeah? Just needed the invitation. He was ready. Right? And so Jesus had dinner at Matthew's house, and people came, and they said they noticed that there was something different. And they said, what's going on? And Jesus just told the truth. This is what's happened. This is what's going on now. Why don't people, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. Go and learn what it means to say, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners. In other words, Jesus says, I've come for the people who know that they're ready. Okay?
Yes.
Not that Jesus is saying that people are righteous without him, right? In other words, he might be saying, I haven't come to call the righteous, but sinners, right? Jesus is saying, I've come to speak to the people who know they need me. Just going about his daily life. Meets Matthew, gives him a whole change of his life. The whole direction of his life changed. And he was able to take hold of it because he was ready. Jesus questioned about fasting. How is it that we and the disciples fast often, but your disciples don't fast? Well, Jesus said, I'm here now. Things are different. You know, every question that comes up, Jesus just tells the truth. You don't sit at a wedding in funeral clothes, says Jesus. You know, the bridegroom is here now. We can celebrate. We don't have to fast. We can celebrate. Then he comes along and